In Thailand, former Nike employees are protesting Nike working conditions. It is estimated that there are over 70,000 workers that produce sports shoes and apparel for Nike in Thailand. Most of the workers receive only minimum wage with no welfare benefits. These workers must work from 10 to 12 hours every day, sometimes until midnight. Many workers have had their labor rights suppressed and violated. In some cases, workers were laid off from factory work, and the work was subcontracted to factories where workers receive lower wages and have no legal protection. Nike spends nearly $1 billion each year on advertising and sponsorship deals, such as the $440 million deal with Manchester United Football Club announced last week. While Thai workers don't have enough money to survive each day, they have no money to save, and Thailand provides no unemployment compensation scheme. Many members of the Par Garment Workers Union have been dismissed since the forming of the union in 1990. Thai Iro and Iro Garment have produced Nike products for many years. Over 1,000 workers have been laid off since September 15th. Much of the production has shifted to non-unionized suppliers affiliated with the Iro Group. Recently, factories producing for Nike in Thailand have been shifting production to subcontractors and non-union facilities and to provinces where wages and benefits are lower. We now turn to The Hague, where thousands of activists have been protesting the second round of the Kyoto Accords. The Kyoto Accords were an international effort to create environmental agreement among all nations. Critics have charged that the accords are weak and insufficient for dealing with the scope of the problems that we are facing. Seven activists chained themselves to the doors of the U.S. consulate, demanding that the U.S. take responsibility for its actions. Their press release stated, "We are talking about the climate, and the U.S. being a major factor of influence in decisions of the world's governments has to be reminded of its responsibility." Today, activists are surrounding the negotiations, blockading them in by building a dike, which symbolizes the peril that low-lying countries like the Netherlands face with sea level rise. This week, the FBI released additional documents about its controversial carnivore technology. Carnivore is an internet monitoring system which allows government organizations like the FBI to observe internet traffic like web use and email. Critics immediately lambasted it as a proof that the email tapping program is more powerful and invasive than the government has disclosed. The Electronic Privacy Information Center, which has sued the FBI for information through the Freedom of Information Act, said that the batch of paperwork indicates that Carnivore can capture and archive unfiltered internet traffic, contrary to previous FBI assertions. Critics have been arguing that Carnivore is just one more part of a cyber world that is increasingly watched. Last week, in India, over 1,000 environmental protesters stormed police barricades in New Delhi and marched up to the offices of the World Bank, demanding that they be allowed to meet with visiting bank president James Wolfensohn. The Indian Supreme Court handed down a ruling on October 18th, rejecting a six-year-old court appeal against a roughly $7 billion IMF-sponsored dam project in western India. Proponents of the dam say it will produce much-needed electricity and flood control, while critics have pointed out to the fact that hundreds of thousands of people will be displaced by the rising water, as well as a total disruption in local food production. Here in Vermont, Vermont Yankee is once again in the news. In an order released on Friday, the Vermont Public Service Board responded to a motion by the New England Coalition on Nuclear Pollution and VPIRG, the Vermont Public Interest Research Group, objecting to the late filing and recent settlement proposed for the sale of Vermont Yankee Nuclear Plant. The board agreed that the late filing was material and proposed to sanction Petitioner's Board for disagreeing with the deadline. The order rejected the proposed sale because it does not promote the general good. Quote, "This is an important victory for us as well as the public," Michael Daly said. Spokesman for the New England Coalition on Nuclear Pollution said, "We believe sanctions are entirely in order for the arrogant disregard of public process demonstrated by the petitioners." Daly noted that Friday's order chastising the petitioners underscores why the public should view the new proposal with skepticism. The board noted that the declining price scheme is a disadvantage to the proposal as a reason to unreasonably constrain parties' ability to review and present evidence on the transaction. In plain English, Daly said, "The utilities tried to use this trick of a fake high sales price for the first time round, and the board is making it clear that they will not be bulldozed into a hasty proceeding." In agricultural news, on November 17th, two environmental activists who dumped more than a ton of silage that blocked the exit of a McDonald's restaurant last month to protest the use of biotech foods will not be prosecuted, at least for now. Michael Colby and Boots Wardinski were arrested for civil disobedience, which entailed the silage dumping as well as leafleting and educational outreach. This comes on the heels of revelations about genetically modified Starlink corn making its way into human food products. Last week, Greenpeace activists dumped more than 2 tons of Starlink-contaminated corn in front of the Environmental Protection Agency's local headquarters in San Francisco. The activists, wearing biohazard suits, demanded that the agency deny approval of the gene-altered corn for human consumption, as requested by the corn's producer, Adventist. In Vancouver, the Mazatistas, the Tortilla Avengers, unfurled a banner reading No to GMO at the Pacific Rim Biotechnology 2000 conference. This report from Thatcher Collins from the Vancouver Independent Media Center on the Pacific Rim BioExpo 2000. The Transatlantic Business Dialogue met this past weekend in Cincinnati, Ohio. Outside the meetings, demonstrators held numerous rallies and protests in the streets. More than 1,000 protesters were in the street demonstrating against the heads of corporations who were meeting behind closed doors. More than 100 arrests occurred over the course of the weekend, with one protester being held on $400,000 bond and charged with 2 felonies. The Transatlantic Business Dialogue is one of the lead groups in influencing the World Trade Organization. Currently, the TABD is working on the removal of trade barriers in technology areas. The Transatlantic Business Dialogue is pushing the WTO to promote the following: further trade liberalization, improved market access for industrial goods, simplification and strengthening of existing agreements on government procurement, trade facilitation, developing the WTO's rules for investment, and clarifying the multilateral environmental agreements which the WTO is depending upon.
Communicate, illustrate, motivate,